Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And the Bottle-O. For your online liquor shopping, visit shopmylocal.com.au.
Welcome to Sports Day. 922-11882 is the number. Carl Langdon and Paul Hazelby with you tonight. Our talkback caller of the day wins a $100 Tab Touch voucher thanks to all the calls that we've had so far this week. And we want you to dig in again tonight. There's plenty of trade talk. Cricket Australia have released their summer of international cricket. Nothing, as we spoke about, in Western Australia. Might want to let your feelings be heard on that front. The WNBL season fixture has also been revealed. That will be hosted in North Queensland under a revised model, 60 games inside 6 weeks from November 11 to December 20, thanks to the support of the Queensland Government. The Cairns, Mackay and Townsville councils have also thrown their support behind the WNBL. So I wonder what that means for our Perth Lynx. 922-11882 to get involved in the program tonight. For you North Melbourne fans, Hayes, a short time ago, Luke McDonald was crowned their fairest and best.
He certainly was, Carl. Good evening to you. Another first-time winner, would you believe? Luke McDonald. Jai Simkin, another young player, came in second. He's going to be a star. And Jed Anderson, as we spoke about, he has finished in third position. But there was a lot of love there for Reece Shaw. Wasn't a great season for North Melbourne and the coach, but you could sense they had a great passion for him and the predicament that he finds himself in at the moment. They'll get a new coach in probably 2 weeks, but North Melbourne, not much to celebrate this year, but Luke McDonald, he is a star player of the comp, no doubt about that.
Yeah, he had a very, very good season, mate. There's been plenty of news out of the cricket today, and probably something that we started our program with last night came to fruition today, didn't it, really, with the confirmation that there will be no international cricket played in Western Australia.
Yeah, we've known that for a long time, that we weren't going to get a test match here, but now there'll be no games. Of course, the SCG, they're the big winners today. Manuka as well, the big winners, particularly when you talk about the one-day internationals and the T20 fixtures. But the good news too today, Carl, was the Victorian government confirmed crowds will be allowed at the MCG for the Boxing Day test. It has been a tough year for the Victorians. Only 25,000, that looks like it'll be the maximum if everything goes well between now and then. But it starts to set things up for other sports. Of course, the tennis, and hopefully come March, April, the AFL resumes in Victoria as well. It's been a tough time, and hopefully the light at the end of the tunnel.
Now, Christina Matthews is going to join us at about 6:30 tonight, so it'll be great to have a chat to the top lady in West Australian cricket to find out, you know, her spin on things when it comes to cricket being played in Western Australia and what's the latest when it comes to the Big Bash and whether there will be a hub here. You spoke about the tennis, Hayes. Brett Phillips, he is the man that will be able to bring us right up to date with the state of play of the Australian Open, the ATP Cup, of which we had earlier this year. Willie Pike will join us as we talk about the Group 1 racing this weekend. He'll be on Wild Planet in Melbourne as two of his Chargers take on the very best up there in Sydney. And we'll also have a chat to Adam Voges tonight, as we regularly do on a Wednesday night, our WA cricket coach. But we'd love to have you get involved in the program. If there's any sport that you'd like to talk about tonight, any news that you might have heard bubbling around when it comes to trade talk in the footy, 922-11882. What did you make of Nathan Jones, Hayes, at Melbourne signing on for another season today? I thought that he was finished.
I thought he was finished too. He's certainly not playing in the midfield. And if they bring in some class midfielders, it's going to make it hard for him. Maybe there's a dual role there where he can spend some time as an assistant coach and helping out with leadership on the field. He's six short, Carl, of 300, and he needs another 12 to go past the all-time record at Melbourne. But I was a bit surprised by that. I thought his time was up. Easton Wood, the other one, getting a contract extension today. 2 years at the Western Bulldogs. One club player, being a star as well. But sad news today, Carl, in the AFL world, and particularly at Essendon, Dr. Bruce Reid passing away. And you could see the outpouring of emotion and love across social media for this guy. Dean Solomon did a really inspiring post as well. And it just got me thinking about some of the most loved people at your club and also my club, the Fremantle Dockers. But he certainly looks like he was the one at the Bombers that held that place together for a long time.
Yeah, mate. I mean, he's 75. Mesothelioma was the disease that he'd had a 2-year battle with. And, mate, I got to work, as probably you did, with the EJ Witten games. So Reedy was always a man that was there with Doc Larkins and doing a great job and giving of his time. And he was inducted into the Hall of Fame at Essendon. He has just been listed as one of the legends because, mate, at the moment, in AFL footy, VFL AFL footy history, he's the longest-serving doctor in the history history of the game. And look, he gave his heart and soul for the Essendon Football Club up until the day that he died. So our hearts go out to the Reid family tonight here on Sports Day. Hey Hayes, so much more news when it comes to the trade names that are pushing around, and probably a little bit more interest in Jesse Hogan tonight. What's the latest when it comes to the chat?
Well, I want to congratulate you. You were on this a long time ago. You recommended to Fremantle that they didn't pick up Jesse Hogan. He's in his third year. It hasn't worked out too well for him at the moment. There's still a bit to play out on this, but Matt Rendell today saying it's a very strong possibility that the Giants will get Jesse Hogan to replace Jeremy Cameron. Makes a lot of sense for them. It's just a matter of whether they can turn around his career, because a 25-year-old fit, focused Jesse Hogan would be an absolutely brilliant recruit. The big question is, can he get back to his very best? And what does it mean? Is there a potential trade there, or has it come down to picks? Because I understand Ian Hill would love to get home if he could, but I think they'd be reluctant to give up a young player of his calibre after losing so many. Sam Taylor is another one that's been a very good player for the Giants. Young, developing, been out injured, but he would fit the profile if that opportunity arose for the Fremantle Dockers as well. But how do you feel about that, Carl? Jesse, do you think he can make a fist of it his third time round?
Well, I think that his lawyer might have given something away when he was speaking about the court and saying that, he hadn't made contact with a young lady for a little while. And he said that, I think in some of what he'd said in representing Jesse Hogan, that he might find himself with anonymity in the East Coast or in Sydney. I think that might have been talked about going back
then. He did.
Look, I think he did, didn't he, from memory?
Yep.
Now, look, if Jesse goes there, he might team up with Tom Hickey, because they are certainly, when it comes to in the market, GWS I'm talking about, they're in the market for a ruckman. But so too are Sydney, mate. Now, do you think that there is a possibility that the West Coast Eagles might, given that Tom Hickey's not likely to play first ruck with the successful season of Nick Natanui, whilst having said that, mate, they've got a couple of developing ruckmen on their list. They still haven't made a decision on what happens with Vardy, but what would your advice be to Tom Hickey? Would you take it if you got an offer from either of those Sydney organisations?
Absolutely. I think they need to come to an arrangement and be fair to him, because with Nick Natanui there, he's not going to get a role, and he's not going to be the second ruckman alongside him with Bailey Williams in the wing, still maturing. And you'd think with another preseason, he'll take his game to the next level. But he would be a great fit. When Natanui was injured last year, he played a really good season. And whilst he gives you something different than Natanui, he's not that strong presence around the ruck contest. He's very good around the ground. He's mature, and he needs to be playing AFL football, because the window is very short, and I think given opportunity at the Sydney Swans, that makes a lot of sense to me. They've been undermanned for a long time. They want to play Alirelia in the back half, and Port Adelaide have made a big play for Alirelia, but part of their deal is that they want to play him in the back half. That's where he wants to play, but because of the ruck issues at Sydney, he's been forced in the ruck. If they bring in a Tom Hickey, then that doesn't occur, so he can play down back, Hickey into the ruck, and then they can do some things with Callum Sinclair in the front half, which I think he's more suited to that role as well. So we spoke about the numbers last night, Carl. Again today, more players being spoken about in terms of the trade period. I think it's going to be the biggest ever. There'll be more that happens over the coming weeks that we don't even know about as of yet. And the Sydney Swans, they would love to have a player of the calibre of Tom Hickey, in my opinion.
Okay. Eagles and Dockers fans, who's your most loved person in the history of your club? Hayes spoke about Doc Reid off the top and the influence that he's had on the game at the Bombers. Who's someone that you've loved, whether it be on, off the field, in the back office, someone that you've dealt with over your time, or maybe it's just your favourite all-time player? I'd love to know. 922-1882, Eagles and Dockers fans, or anybody else who wants to play if you want to throw someone else into the melting pot. We'll clear a commitment on the other side. We'll get into a little bit more talk about a few of the other names that are being bandying around for the West Coast Eagles and Freo Dockers as the silly season has well and truly started, and we'll roll through some of the other news that's happened today here on Sports Day.
Your new Kia Sorento has landed, and the Bottle-O. For your online liquor shopping, visit shopmylocal.com.au.
Welcome back to Sports Day. 922-1882 is our number. We've got the $100 Tab Touch voucher to give away. Just remember, gamble responsibly. Hayes, who was your most loved, or who has been your most loved over your time in the game here? I mean, you grew up as an Eagles supporter, so maybe there's someone that you love there, but then you spent so much time at the Freo Dockers.
I'm going to start with the two medical professionals down there, and Jeff Boyle and Ken Withers. And it was sad the other night that Jeff Boyle obviously finished up with the Fremantle Dockers, but I can obviously feel the emotion today with Bruce Reid, because you spend so much time with these guys and they're with you through some of your toughest times. When you do get injured, there's always work for them to do on your body to get yourself right. So you spend a lot of time with them, and particularly Jeff Boyle, he was one that I loved, and till this day, every year on my birthday, he sends me a message. So thank you for that, Jeff. And the other one is Gary Ingram too, Springer, who's the boxing coach down there at Fremantle. He's also the runner. He's done a number of jobs. He's quite special. He keeps in contact with so many different players, even when he doesn't have to. It's not his role, but he keeps things ticking along for those past players, because it can be a pretty tough time for a lot of individuals as well. So there are a couple of mine. Two players that stand out. Sean McManus was always one that I loved playing alongside, and he had a real care for each individual. And Troy Cook, the other one, one of the hardest men. And in one of my toughest times, he was the one that I spent some time with. So there's mine, Carl. What about you at your club?
Well, mate, a bloke that I reckon I spent the last 3 years of my career with. So in the 92 grand final, mate, I played my 92nd game. And after that, I had, I think I had 13 operations on 9 different parts of me. And I played 8 games for West Coast. I played a few others for Subiaco, including my last in the 1995 grand final. But I spent most of that 3 years with a bloke by the name of Bill Sutherland. Now, yeah. I retired from West Coast in February of 96, after limping off at the in a pre-season game. And I sat in front of my locker and I said, I've had enough of this. And he was one of the first blokes I spoke to. Now, he didn't retire until 2011. So he kicked on a hell of a lot longer than I did. Billy is a bloke that was just unbelievable, mate. You could go around to his house. He lived down on City Beach near the ocean, lovely spot. He was an old farmer, so he had these big fat thumbs. And, mate, you just rock up to his house and you could have a massage, and it didn't really matter what time, mate. If it had to be early in the morning, if it was late in the afternoon, because, mate, we were all working at that time. So essentially, and look, we were freewheeling a lot in the early days too, mate, where we just didn't have a regular place to go by way of a club. It wasn't until sort of later on in the 90s that we got that opportunity to actually find a home there at Subiaco. So Billy Sutherland, I reckon would be right in the hearts of many of the blokes that that I played with at the West Coast Eagles. So 922-11882 if you would like to roll in some of your thoughts tonight. We've got to get to Christina Matthews shortly, but we've got that $100 Tab Touch voucher to give away tonight, and looking forward to you having your say. If you've just joined us, just repeating the news that the North Melbourne's football club's fairest and best has been decided tonight, and the bloke that finished up top was McDonald. Lukey McDonald was the man who has reigned supreme there. Now, Hayes, look, there's been plenty of speculation about who might be heading back to Western Australia. Now, Geordie Clark is one name that's been bubbling around. He has got a 2-year contract at Geelong. Both West Coast and Freo have shown some interest. Chris Scott has said no deal. Matthew Scarlett doesn't really rate him. I believe he'd love to return to Western Australia. He grew up barracking for West Coast, but I'm sure that if West Coast or Freo are able to get a suitable deal, then I reckon Jordan Clark will be back in WA in 5 minutes.
I think he'd love to come home, but I can't see this one happening. He's got 2 years on that contract, and given the negotiations that Geelong and West Coast have had in recent times, and also where their list profile is right now, they need young kids, and he's one that can play that position on the wing or halfback if required. Brendan Parfitt is another one, and Narkel is another one that they're likely to lose as well, and on top of that is Narkia Cockatoo. So if you're losing two of those players, you don't want to lose three or four, because otherwise you've got this list that's an average age of 28, which it was this year. That would go even higher next year. Constable is another young player that looks like he's out the door. So if I'm Chris Scott, rightly so, you're saying no deal, you're staying at least for another year. And I think it's good for him to stay too, to work through it. I don't like this scenario where players that have been there for one or two seasons that aren't getting a go for whatever circumstance, not pushing through it and then coming out the other end better players, and they fit into the culture a little bit by the end of their third or fourth year. I think he needs to do that. And if he still wants to come home at the end of the fourth season, then a deal may happen. But I don't think either of our clubs really need to go hardball for him. They don't really need that sort of player at this stage. They've both got some young kids, particularly the Fremantle Dockers. And to get him, when he's locked into that sort of contract, you're going to have to pay overs for him. So I wouldn't be going there if I'm the WA teams.
All right. Now, what about big, bad Benny Brown, mate? He's a beautiful kick. If Hogan's on the move, as we think that he might, and certainly Fremantle now feel that he's on the nose, what about Ben Brown? Would you like to see him leading out of the goal square at Fremantle, Hayes?
No, I don't think so. I don't think he would be the right mix when you've got Matty Tabanagh, similar type of player, although he can get up a lot higher. And then Rory Lobb is the other one. So to put those three in the same forward line, I don't think it works. I think the criticism of Ben Brown, particularly this year when he wasn't 100% fit, is his recovery. When the ball hits the ground, he's not very quick to get on it and also apply a bit of pressure. So I wouldn't be going there from a Fremantle Dockers supporter or a list manager down at the Fremantle Dockers. I think it's Melbourne for Ben Brown. They could do with him. McDonald will move on and go to another club. And outside of that, they've got Wiedemann, who's not suited to the key position full forward, in my opinion. And I think their style probably suits him because they take the game on, they go through the corridor. When they get it right, they get quick ball movement, and that's what he requires. Not slow play, quick ball movement, because off the mark, he's pretty hard to stop, 200 centimetres, and he hits the ball at its highest peak.
If you're going to get something good, you've got to give something good. Now, Alex Pearce, mate. Would you put him on the table? He hasn't played footy for a while now, and he's become injury-prone, even though he's a good player when he's out there.
No, not yet. I think he deserves it. He's a really good cultural man down at the Fremantle Dockers. The players love him. The coaches love him. He's been through the hard yards with his injury, but I still think he offers them some flexibility in the back half. We know that, but also in the front half. And they do have a lot of guys in their back half that were injured this year. Griffin Logan, of course, who's the fullback that didn't play? Hamling. Of course, yep. Those couple, there's no guarantee they all get back to full fitness next year. So we could be talking about some of those smaller players playing that role. But I think if they all come back in, he has options to go in the front half to be that replacement, possibly alongside Brennan Cox, for Jesse Hogan if he ends up leaving the club.
All right, in or out, listeners, 922-1882, if you'd like to throw some people into the trade pot, it is silly season, so you're more than welcome to throw your 5 cents worth into the discussion. We'll have a chat to Christina Matthews. That $100 TAB sports betting voucher is ready for you to give away. It's 28 minutes past six. Welcome back to Sports Day and news headlines. Car sales number one for cars, as we spoke about off the top. It was announced by Cricket Australia, the release of the summer international fixture. Nothing in Western Australia. We spoke about that at length last night. We haven't had a lot to crow about here in Western Australia, to be honest. We had a few AFL games, but she's been a pretty dry spell since, and it's likely to continue that way until probably next footy season. Christina, good evening to you. How are you?
Good evening. Not too bad. Could be better if we had some cricket.
Yeah, it'd be lovely if we had some cricket. You know how much you and I love, and we love chewing the fat and getting together down there and watching a sport that we really love. But unfortunately, we have not been dealt the cards that we would have liked. But it's no surprise, really, given the situation that we've had in Western Australia, and we've been pretty reluctant to negotiate on a couple of levels, haven't we?
Yeah, look, we've had to, we've got caught in the middle of two things. One is the fixturing challenges that Cricket Australia has in setting a schedule, and also the quarantine and restrictions that exist in WA. It's been pretty frustrating, but it's nothing anyone can do anything about.
Have you been speaking to the government about this, Christina, and have you pleaded with them to try and help out the whacker in the sport of cricket in here in WA?
Oh, look, when we were sort of first on the agenda for Cricket Australia. They wanted India to come in via Perth and play all the white ball matches in WA. So we've known for a while that wasn't going to happen, but it was pleasing to know that they were keen to get some cricket here. So there was a lot of discussions that went on at that point, but it just wasn't able to happen. As we've seen, South Australia wouldn't let the Indians land there, Queensland wouldn't, and finally it was left to New South Wales.
Snubbed for the international matches, but the Big Bash, what about that? Is there going to be another snub?
look, we hope not. On Friday, I probably would have been less optimistic and said, yeah, probably. But there's been some good movement in the last 2 days, both in terms of the scheduling and discussions with the government. So we've probably got two and a half weeks to sort that out. And if we can't sort it out in that time, we won't get any content. But we've had a lot more positive conversations over the last 2 days.
If you had to give us a percentage chance, what would you say?
Oh, look, I was going for 70% this morning, but I'm speaking to our commercial. He was very brave and went 95%, so I'm going to put it up to 80.
All right, don't mind Christine, that.
And, you're braver than me. You boys know me.
I'm an optimist.
What does that mean for members, Christina? Obviously, I'm not sure you've got a Dale Alcock out there that's going to donate a house. If there's no games to be played here for your WACA members who are so loyal, what are their options going forward?
Yeah, you're right. We don't have someone who's going to donate a house to encourage membership. But look, I've got to say, and I've said it on other with other opportunities today, we've been really lucky. 50% of our members have renewed this year knowing that we were, you know, going to struggle for content. So that's something to be really grateful for. Once the full fixture is known, we'll be able to talk to our members about refunds if as necessary, and also hopefully give some incentive for people who haven't renewed to renew. But those who have renewed have enabled us to continue what we do in the community. And, you know, whilst it sounds probably a bit naff, the membership really is important to us in terms of our ongoing commitment to cricket in the state, not at the elite level, but at the community level.
Christina, when it comes to the Big Bash fixtures for 2021, due to get underway on the 3rd of December, is that still the target date for the fixtures to begin? Because, you know, we're talking about pretty much 5 weeks away, a month.
Look, to be perfectly honest, I'm not sure if it's still the date. There's been a lot of moving parts, and I've heard the beginning and the middle of December, so I'm not exactly sure. I do know that we had to settle the international schedule before we could confirm a starting date for Big Bash League, and then try and fit around all the different restrictions in every state. So it's somewhere in the first 2 weeks of December. Whether it's closer to the middle or closer to the start, I couldn't tell you at the moment.
Okay, and so for us to have any cricket played here, if it was to be the first week or the middle of December, it's currently scheduled for the first week, but obviously everything has been thrown up in the air. So if it moves back to the middle of December, you're of the view, and you've gone 70 to 80%, that our state government will relax things so that we can have teams play and not necessarily have to endure what the AFL and other sports have had to endure, and in most cases they've chosen not to come. And like the cricket and like the WNBL, with the fixture that was released today, it's in North Queensland.
I mean, there's a few things. I mean, as you know, we have tennis every January. We have the Wildcats. So there's now two or three sports, you know, negotiating with the government to get some content. So hopefully with what's happening here and around the country over the past week, we're going to see some easing of those restrictions and, you know, retain some Big Bash into the new year.
If we are fully snubbed this year, what does it mean for next year? It's the Ashes year. Does it mean you can back the truck up and maybe get a few more? Because the SCG have been looked after this year. Would there be more international fixtures scheduled here in Perth for next year?
That's a good question. We probably have a case for some more white ball cricket, not really knowing yet how many T20s or 50 other games are going to be played. Look, the Ashes, a test match alone, it makes for a wonderful summer. We're pretty sure we'll get at least one white ball game. If we can get more, that would be terrific. I think one of the great things about this year is that we do go through this year knowing we've got an Ashes year next year, which is really attractive for cricket fans to come back to the game and really support cricket in WA. So it's with some confidence that I look ahead to the next summer and know that we'll be bringing some good cricket back to Western Australia.
So do you or are you able to negotiate that on your own as a cricket industry in this state, or do you need our state government and Tourism WA and Optus and those other parties to actually help bring it to Western Australia? How does that part work?
The additional white ball games?
Well, yeah, white ball, test cricket, any of it, really.
It depends on the year. In an England year, we're pretty... there'd have to be something really unusual not to get a test, but it certainly helps if your tourism body, your state government, is prepared to put something extra on the table to attract more content. So with the opening of Optus Stadium, I've been really pleased with the support that we've got, not only in, obviously, the money that went into building the stadium, but by the government as a whole and Tourism WA, and we'll continue to work with them on that. I think we do need Cricket Australia to be a little bit more willing with WA and a little bit more prepared to do things differently to bring more content here. I'm not convinced that they always look to purse first, and we've got so much to offer, particularly as the entry point to the country for everyone who comes here. But also what we have here now with Optus Stadium, the Wacker Ground, and the soon-to-be-commenced redevelopment of the Wacker Ground, which will make it even more an attractive proposition.
Well, staying with that, Cricket Australia announced today the Boxing Day Test will be in Melbourne for another 3 years, so an extension of 3 years for the Boxing Day Test. And I did read that Mike McKenna tried hard, very hard, to get it moved here to Western Australia in the future. Were you involved with that, and how much government support was in that bid?
I don't think it was a serious bid to get the Boxing Day Test here permanently. I've always had the view that there are some things that work really well for cricket as a whole, and the Boxing Day Test in Melbourne is one of those things. However, I do think it would be really good for us to try and secure particularly the test match just before Christmas as a permanent thing. I think that really would be good for the cricket calendar, good for WA, to really try and cement that test just before Christmas. Spectators from overseas can come here, know that they can stay in Perth and then move on to Melbourne for Christmas. So, you know, it would be good if we could get together and really cement that as something into the future.
Great idea. I like that. Now, we've spoken a lot about off-field issues, but on-field, it looks pretty good for WA, a good start and lots of depth and attracting some good players for the Big Bash.
Yeah, it's been really exciting to watch the first two Shield matches. We had the privilege, I mean, you talk about not getting cricket, and then we have the privilege of having our entire squad in Perth all winter training with no restrictions. And I think we're seeing the benefit of that. You know, the coaching staff have really changed things up and doing things a bit differently. And I felt watching the team that we look more mature on the field, and certainly, particularly in the New South Wales game, we were behind the eight ball for, you know, pretty much a day and three quarters. And then we wrestled back control of the game. So, and a really good spread across the team in terms of contribution, and seem to have, in the first two games, not been suffering from those collapses that have happened over the last couple of years.
Now, the WBBL and Christina, I don't like to be the bringer of bad news, but I'm of the view that we'll be having no Big Bash here, and we'll have a similar hub to the girls, and it'll be all played on the East Coast. That's Carl's opinion, okay? But just having a look at the girls, and obviously they got close in the first game. The second one got sadly washed out. Hopefully they can get out there on the third one and get some cricket played. But what's your feedback been from the group that have been over there, endured what they have already?
Yeah, look, the feedback from the group has been positive about the hub. They've said they've been well looked after. It's a really good setup. We made sure that the two floors of the hotel they're on were all dressed in Scorcher's colours and with images and so forth. So they're feeling really at home. The first game was a little unfortunate. I think we got the worst of the conditions in that game, and particularly with a new opening combination feeling their way, we underperformed there. I was looking forward to the second game, but that got washed out. This is what happens when you put games on the East Coast. I don't know why they don't learn. There's a positive vibe in the side heading into the next game. But we've got a great list. A great list is only as good as what happens on the field. So hopefully they start clicking.
That was exactly what everyone was saying on grand final, you know, when that torrential rain was falling up there at the ground. The images were coming across the Nullarbor of it being under water, and there was the potential that it was going to be postponed because of lightning. Yeah, we all had those same discussions, but we've got to relax a little bit over here in WA.
What's funny, when we were pitching for the Indian Test last year, we did put a whole lot of material together, and one of them was rainfall. And I think in Perth, we had 2 millimetres of rainfall in Perth, and Brisbane had about 100 million millimetres. they didn't carry any sway.
No. Anyway, all right, so we've got to try and turn no into maybe, and eventually yes, Christina, because up until this point it's been a firm no for anything to happen much around LA. Yeah. Thanks for your time. Take care. Look after
yourself. Thanks very much. Thanks for your support.
Christina.
Sports Day for Kia. Your new Kia Sorento has landed. And the Bottle-O. For your online liquor shopping, visit shopmylocal.com.au.
And Sean joins us from Baldivis. Welcome, Sean. How you going, buddy?
Yeah, good, mate. Good. Hey, quick one. I'm looking at Jesse Hogan. I'm going, what could the Dockers, what's the best they could get out of him? I'd be targeting a future first-round draft pick if we can get it. So I'm looking Jesse Hogan and pick 28 this year. We're obviously going to have to give more. I'm thinking second round pick next year. Would that be enough to get it over the line, or would you need something else? And also, this team would have to be like a Sydney or someone who I don't think is going to make top eight next year, which would make it more valuable.
Look, it's a big ask, I think, to get that for Jesse Hogan. We know his potential, but I don't think the Dockers are in a really strong bargaining position, to be honest. If they're the club that is, you know, offering him up for that trade, I think a bit of it's going to come down to salary. So you might accept less from a draft pick point of view, and you might have that club pay more of his salary so Fremantle don't have to pay too much going forward. But when you sort of want them out the door, you lose a bit of bargaining position, power there, Sean. Would you agree?
Totally. I mean, I know we've got no bargaining power, but I'm just going, I'd throw in, a third rounder. I'd do pretty much anything. If you could somehow get a future first rounder out of it somehow, whatever it takes, I'd say that's a win for the Dockers, if that's what they're going down the road.
Yeah, that would be a massive win. I probably think it'll be between 25 and 50 is probably the range that I would think. But as I said, it will come down to the salary payment and how that is structured.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Good on you, Sean. I suppose you have to look at it from the club who is going to take on, one, the salary, and two, what Jess brings from his recent examples. Now, you know, I don't know that there'll be any club out there who want to be paying overs, Hayes. I'm like you. I would be very, very surprised if it's anywhere near a top round one or two pick, to be perfectly honest. So, I know you can go into the 30s and 40s once you get towards the back end, but I wouldn't have thought that it'd be any earlier than that. And by the way, Sean, hopefully we've got your number, mate. I'm going to give you the $100 Tab Touch voucher for calling through tonight. So thanks for giving us a ring, mate. Good on you.
Oh, thanks, guys. Thank you very much.
Okay, stay on the line, mate, and we will get your details and make sure that you do gamble responsibly, by the way, but maybe you can have a flutter on the weekend because there's a couple of big races, both in Flemington. You've got the Coolmore Stud. In fact, there's five group ones. It starts off in race five with the Empire Rose, which is a very, very good race for the youngsters, Cherry Tortini, and the horse that was scratched on the weekend, Young Werther, is the two leading candidates in the Amy Victoria Derby. And then we go to the big Group 1, which involves Willie Pike, who's going to join us. We'll have a chat about his chances after the 882 6PR News. He is riding Wild Planet. He's also got a couple of other rides earlier in the day. And just having a look too up at Rose Hill, the big race up there involves two of our West Australian horses. They haven't drawn so well, Hayes. I picked up my newspaper this morning and Willie's on the back page again. Superstorm at $14, Windstorm at $23. We'll have to ask Willie a little bit later on what he thinks is the best, eh, out of that.
I think Alligator Blood too also drew the car park, so that'll be fascinating. Another big race. But Carl Daniel Pratt today, more restructuring of AFL coaches. He will be the new senior coach of the West Coast Eagles in the AFLW. So it continues the trend. That's the third coach that has changed this year in the AFLW, based around the restructuring of clubs as well. So good luck to him. He replaces Luke Dwyer in that role. And some boxing news too, Carl. Tim Zhu, a great win recently. He's going to fight New Zealander Bowen Morgan at Bankwest Stadium on December 16. That was pretty exciting last time. This kid's got a big future and can't wait to see what he can do.
And just lastly, a little bit of the talk on Trade Radio today was that Adelaide, mate, if they don't get pick two from St Kilda, they have basically said, even though he's a free agent, that they've got the ability to match. And if they have the ability to match, then it means under free agency rules that they will then force a trade rather than maybe being handed the free agency compensation that they might get from the AFL.
To kick us off this hour, we are looking for a giant performance of the day on Friday as our giant bicycles team go at it. We're still riding with you. The Western Australian cricket team in Sheffield Shield action, and the match is against Tasmania. And we are joined by their coach, Adam Voges. Welcome, mate.
Good evening, guys. Nice to chat as always.
Now, I think the new fixtures were only brought out a couple of days ago. Were you happy with the way that things have panned out? Of course, Tasmania first.
Yeah, that's right. Obviously, there's been a little bit of a shuffle with Victoria missing one of the extra games that they were going to play in this hub. So it's been a bit of a shuffle. It hasn't affected us too much. Different opponent this time, but we're really looking forward to the challenge against Tassie. I think the boys have played some good cricket in the first two games, and looking forward to getting started on Friday.
Sitting atop the ladder, that's always a good start to the season. But are you prepared as a team for the chance that you may spend the full summer away from home, Voges, with the news today?
Yeah, it's. I think it's probably something that we've probably been thinking may be the case for a while now, Hayes. Obviously with border restrictions and making it tough for people to get into Perth, it obviously means that teams aren't going to be able to come over and play against us. So we're prepared to spend a fair chunk of the summer away. I'm sure we'll get home in different various times throughout the summer. And fingers crossed, hopefully in the Big Bash, we might be able to get some cricket to our members and fans. But we'll wait and see.
You've had a few days off. What do the boys get up to when they get the word from the coach to go and have some fun?
Yeah, it's hub life over here is not too restrictive, so they can still get out and about. There's a bit of golf going on. The boys can still get out and go for walks and do a bit of exercise. And there's a pretty ferocious table tennis tournament going on in the team room downstairs as well. So the boys have kept busy enough, but they were certainly ready to hit the training track today.
Now, mate, you've got a lot of competition for spots when it comes to your bowling stocks. Both lots of teams that you've played with, two changes from match one to match two. Do you envisage any change for the starting 11 on Friday?
Yeah, possibly, Carl. We had two forced changes from the last game due to injury. Both Joel Parris and Lance Morris missed. So they both performed pretty strongly today at our session. We'll need to see how they pull up tomorrow, but I imagine that they'll be in the mix. Lance certainly bowled very fast today and had a few of our batters hopping around. So he's right in the frame, and Joel will just see how he pulls up. So, yeah, our greatest challenge, with like all teams at the moment, is finding a way to take 20 wickets. So we think we've got some good options over here. We'll just work out what the right balance is.
Gee, Voges, the comparisons and the talk around Cameron Green, it's through the roof at the moment. As a coach, how do you handle that? Do you have to have a talk to him, or is he pretty grounded as an individual?
He's a pretty grounded kid, Hayes. I walked to training with him today just to see how he was going with it all. And More so to check on how his body's going, because we're hoping that he's going to be able to bowl for us in, if not this game, then the next one. But he's a young kid who's performing really well at the moment, but he's got a good head on his shoulders. He knows that if he keeps performing really well for WA and keeps helping us win games of cricket, then that national selection will look after itself. But yeah, obviously the drums are banging pretty loud at the moment, just from his recent performances.
And what about this Tasmanian team? They've got some batsmen in good form. They've also got a wicketkeeper in good form as well. You take them on Friday. What are you expecting from the pitch?
It's the same pitch that we played. Well, not the same pitch, but the same oval that we played on in our last game. And I think if we were still playing, we might not have a result. It was pretty flat. So I think both teams will be trying to find a way to take 20 wickets. Tassie are a good team. They've obviously got the Australian captain, Tim Payne. Matthew Wade comes back in for this game as well. And they've got a pretty strong bowling lineup with Jackson Bird, Peter Siddle. So it's going to be a really good challenge for our guys. But like I said, I think we're playing some good cricket. And if we keep competing well and bring a lot of the good stuff that we've done in the first two games, and looking forward to getting started well against them on Friday.
So have you had a chat to the curator at Gladys Elphick Park there in Adelaide, where the match was played on a road last time? Any chance he can trick the pitch up a bit?
Yeah, I offered to cut all the grass off for them, but just to maybe get some spin or a couple of balls that might misbehave later on in the game. So, we had a bit of a look at it today. It looks a little bit drier than the one we played on, so I think it'll still be a very good batting wicket, but hopefully we might see a bit more deterioration as the game goes on. So, but I try not to tell curators how to do their job, but I did offer my services.
Just on spin, Ashton Agar, 5 wickets in the first game. Has he improved, and do you see him in the future getting back into that Australian team?
Yeah, I think Ash has bowled beautifully in these first two games. Look, he's getting some conditions which are favouring him. Being a spin bowler and playing half your domestic first-class games at the Wacker, it can be a pretty tough role. But he gets some conditions that are a bit more in his favour, and I think he's really relished in that. So, he gets another great opportunity this week. Again, 5 wickets and 100 in the first game, and he didn't quite get the same rewards against New South Wales, but I thought he bowled exceptionally well again. So, he's playing really nicely. He's, I think, enjoying the opportunity to play some consecutive first-class cricket. He, like a number of guys who play white ball cricket for Australia, don't often get this opportunity. So I know he's enjoying it, and, he's looking forward to Friday as well.
Voji, last week you intimated that there was going to be a big signing for the Perth Scorchers, and there was. Jason Roy, he has joined, but there's still one more spot. Can you tell us something this week?
Another Englishman?
Probably not another Englishman. I haven't got much for you this week. But, we're really pleased to get Jason on board. He's a high-quality performer. I think he's going to bring a lot of experience and power to the top of our order. You think you put him with Livingston and Inglis at the top of the order, and potentially an Ashton Turner and Mitch Marsh through the middle, it starts to become a pretty imposing batting lineup. So we're excited to see that. As for our third overseas, we're still on the hunt for that at the moment. We're working through that, and we're hopeful to get something in place over the next couple of weeks, but bit soon at the moment, boys.
Do you envisage that Roy will open the innings?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't want to sort of deal on the cards at the moment. I think it'll depend on his availability to begin with. There's a tour of South Africa that England look like they're going ahead on, so he may not be available for our first few games. So if that is the case, then it'll certainly be Livingston and Inglis up the top, and we'll welcome Jason when he arrives.
Who's winning the table tennis tournament? Big question.
Yeah, good question. Ashton Agar's as good at everything he does. So he's right up there. Cameron Green's been pretty good as well. I think a few of the boys are trying to get him after a long day batting and try and get him when he's a bit fatigued, but he's not bad as well. So Cameron Bancroft, the worst by far. the boys enjoy watching Bang get towed up by most of the players. So it's been good.
Thanks for joining us, mate. Take care.
No worries. I'll chat next week. Cheers, guys.
Will do, mate. Adam Voges, regularly joining us on this night, a Wednesday night here on Sports Day, to talk about the latest in WA cricket. For Giant Bicycles, we're still riding with you. We'll clear a quick commitment. We'll come back. And on the other side, Brett Phillips to give us a wrap on all the world tennis next here on Sports Day. Welcome back to Sports Day. Tennis expert is Brett Phillips. Nice to have him on Sports Day. Welcome, mate. How are you?
Good on you, Carl. Thanks, Hayes. Nice to speak to you guys.
Now, you've been let out over there in Melbourne, mate. How's it been? What did you get up to today or tonight? Did you get out for a feed?
Well, I'd say it's the earliest dinner I've had, because that's the only sitting you could get into was a 5 o'clock dinner, and I was home by 6:10. So, wow. Yeah, I mean, the Europeans say we should actually eat earlier rather than eating late at night, so it doesn't sit in the stomach too long. But I reckon every Melbourneian is out tonight. There is that many tables set along every street corner I can see on my travels tonight. So people have been let out and they're enjoying it.
Righto, mate. Let's get into the tennis chat, because we want to enjoy some tennis here in Australia. Not so sure how it's going to pan out. And locally, mate, we had some ATP Cup action last year. Any chances this year, yeah, you reckon?
Well, yeah, that's the bit that still needs to be ironed out. I mean, I think the Australian Open is certainly going to go ahead. What the lead-up looks like is still what we need to find out. And we're hoping that decision's going to come in the next 7 to 10 days. You know, certainly a week ago it was labelled as sort of crunch time. So the scenario, certainly with the lead-up events, is can the players actually get into a quarantine wherever they are around the country and have access to tennis courts and gyms and be able to train, because the players won't come to Australia if they've got to sit in a hotel. So they understand they've got to sit in the hotel. Well, they understand they've got to quarantine for 2 weeks, but they won't just come here if they can't actually be in a bubble of sorts to get out and actually practice and keep fit and keep themselves well-conditioned ahead of a summer of tennis. So that's the bit that Craig Tiley, the Australian Open, are trying to work out with government officials and health officials. That seems to be the real sticking point at the moment. And then depending on how the borders are going to work and who can get where, and they've certainly brought up the scenario that if we can't get the ATP Cup in Perth and Brisbane and Sydney, and the women's event in Brisbane and Adelaide have got a men's and women's event, then maybe we're going to bring it all to Melbourne and Victoria, so everyone just comes to one spot, they're here, and it might make it logistically easier. But yeah, it's all really up in the air, to be totally honest.
A big positive today, BP, was the announcement that the cricket could have at least 25,000 spectators for Boxing Day. So that's a positive.
Yeah, no doubt. I think we're going to see crowds at the Australian Open. They've talked 25 to 50%. Hayes, it's a big site, Melbourne Park, you know, stretching all the way from Fed Square to Richmond Station. So there's room to move and breathe and to do it in a COVID-safe way compared to the other Grand Slam sites. So I don't think that's certainly going to be an issue, but they'll have to come to a call as to how many they do let in. But obviously, with the improved situation here in Melbourne and Victoria, you know, I think, you know, given another 2.5-3 months, we should be able to see, you know, some pretty good crowd numbers at the Australian Open.
What about a few of our Aussies? What have they been up to? We'll start with Ash Barty.
Ash, very nice weekend for her, obviously presenting the Premiership Cup, and she's been sipping froppies at the footy and having a good old time. But I know Craig Tizer is finally with her coach. She had to go via Darwin to get to Brisbane so they can start putting in a training block now to have Ash ready for the summer of tennis. But I think she's certainly just enjoyed some time out. Alex de Minaur had a good weekend. I mean, made a final at the European Open, so our best-ranked Aussie male. He's been in a little bit of a rut by sort of his competitive standards that he sets. US Open, French, hadn't set the world on fire, so it was nice for him to make a final. And, you know, he's the one where, you know, obviously going to pin some hope on that a door might open one day in this very tough world of men's tennis, that he could maybe sneak a major like Leighton sneaked a couple at the back end of Sampras and before, you know, Federer and Nadal got going. So, yeah, a lot of our Aussie males have basically stayed in Europe playing a heap of tournaments at the moment before they have to come back to Australia.
What about Nick? Are you confident that he's done the work?
Oh, look, it's always hard to say. You know, I don't know if he's actually been training all that hard, but he's certainly been active on social media. I know he's doing some good stuff in Canberra in terms of a couple of new facilities opening up there, and his foundation Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, I think he's certainly coming across the right way in the media in the last few months. He's done a lot of different bits and pieces and had a few opinions along the way as well. But in terms of his tennis, I mean, he hasn't played since, what, February. It's just hard to know, you know, where he sort of sits in the whole pecking order of things. I mean, he's going to be 40-odd in the world, but, you know, hopefully he'll be inspired for an Australian summer. But he's one that is hard to totally put a prediction on.
What about his old sparring partner in Bernard Tomic? Have we seen the last of him?
Good question, Hayes. I've got no idea where Bernie might be. I don't know if he's in Miami or the Gold Coast or the Bahamas. I think he might be on the Gold Coast. Yeah, it's a long way back. I was actually asked a question on our show this week, what was he like as a junior? And I said, well, he was an exceptional junior. I mean, he won the Orange Bowl against the world number 17 on the back of enormous talent. But, gee, I can't see him climbing back, you know, unless you're absolutely dedicated to the sport and prepared to give it your heart and soul. You get spit out the other way pretty quickly, so he'll just count his millions for a little while, Hayes, until it runs out, and he's got to think of plan B. What the hell do I do for the rest of my life?
Now, Brett, what about Rafael Nadal's record? It's been something that we have been watching, and he has eventually gotten over the top of Jimmy Connors. He spent the most weeks inside the world's top 10, 788 weeks, and Roger Federer is not likely to catch him on 734.
No. No, it's phenomenal, isn't it? And he's going to play Paris next week. He'll play the ATP Finals. That's one big tournament that has eluded him because he's never been fit at the back end of the year. He's normally been absolutely spent, but he comes in a lot fresher. He'll continue to break records. And I don't know if you caught up with Rafa. He actually played a golf tournament in Spain across the weekend. I think he finished sixth. He went all right. I saw a couple of little video highlights. He's a very, very competent golfer as well, which probably comes as no surprise that the stars can be as adequate in other sports. So he's flying there in Mallorca.
7-under against some of the pros he scored. What about Roger? Will he be okay recovering from his injury?
He seems to be on track, yeah, from everything we're reading and seeing a little bit of footage of him hitting in Switzerland. So, yeah, I mean, this could be a real blessing for him to, you know, try and come and have one last full year on the tour. It might be two, but, you know, you would suspect maybe it could be just one. He still loves the game, Roger, so maybe this time out will, you know, certainly really help him. And he's going to be in the conversation, but, yeah, I think it's going to be really tough for him to sneak one unless, you know, a Djokovic doesn't get to a final or a Nadal. I think those guys are, you know, best of five at a Grand Slam with the age gap now. I think have probably got the better of Roger.
Brett, thank you very, very much for sharing some time with us again tonight, mate. We'll chat again soon.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
Brett Phillips, thanks to GLG Green Life Group, your open space specialist, celebrating 25 wonderful years. You can find out more at glgcorp.com. Stay with us after this commitment. We'll come back and we'll have a chat to Willie Pike next here on Sports Day. Welcome back to Sports Day. Great to have Willie Pike on the program tonight. How are you, mate?
I'm going good, guys. How are you?
Yeah, we're going all right. How'd you fare today over there in Victoria? Did you ride a winner?
Yeah, I managed to get one over the line. They don't come in bags like I'm used to, so one is a good day and I'll take it.
Now, before I let Hayes at you, mate, obviously a couple of weeks ago you reigned supreme. You were front and back page of our newspaper, your inside back cover. You've ridden four, including a couple of group ones. What did that mean to you, mate? I heard you on 6PR Breakfast, but now we've got you on Sports Day. What did that mean to you?
Look, it was a pretty surreal sort of day. It was all just sort of kept rolling and all sort of just kept happening. But I suppose by the end of it, and you get to sit back and reflect on it, and I watch the replays about 100 times each. So it's probably just vindication for coming over, away from my family, setting up here, and it was all about getting Group 1 winners, and to get two in a day and bag four for the day all up was better than I could have hoped for. So it was all probably just like a personal fist pump. You know, it was all worthwhile, and and the sacrifices my family had to make. They're at home, sort of keeping everything running, and I'm over here, really only got to worry about myself, I guess. So, it's just a personal fist pump moment, really.
That is nice, and hopefully there's more fist pumps to come. But Arcadia Queen, let's just touch on this horse. Pretty good, pretty brave in the Cox Plate. How did she pull up, and what's next?
All reports are she's pulled up very well. She'll go on to the McKinnon on Saturday week. So I've got to make the decision whether I stay in rider and potentially miss out on our Railway Stakes, or whether I leave a little bit earlier and make sure I'm home in time for our Railway Stakes. So it's probably a decision I've got to sit down in front of the mirror and make pretty soon.
What about a Melbourne Cup? How would that sit with you if you were to win that one? It would be unbelievable. You're on a live chance. Steel Prince, very good in the Geelong Cup. How are you feeling about this horse? Can you win a Melbourne Cup, Willie?
Oh, I'm very hopeful. This is one of those races. It's a wide open race, and you never say never. His form's been great. I've had a good look at him, and his form's probably better now than last year, and he didn't get beat very far last year, so I think he's a very live chance. The Geelong Cup is generally a very good form race for a Melbourne Cup, so I'm hoping all those things come together for me on the day, and I can look pretty clever.
How does it look this Saturday, the start of the Flemington Carnival? What rides do you have, and do you love Flemington the most when you talk about Caulfield and Moonee Valley? Is Flemington more suited to your style?
You would think so, but it's probably the track I've had the least amount of success on so far. So, in theory, yeah, it's my type of track, but it hasn't really transferred into reality. So I'm trying to change that come Saturday and for the carnival ahead. So otherwise it's going to be a long week ahead if I can't change that.
Three rides, mate. Pensato, Doubtland, and the big one, Race 8, where you are on board Wild Planet, a last start winner. Oh, I think it's a genuine chance. Mr. Quickie was very, very good in its last start. Its favourite, Buffalo River, is always one that's about the mark with Craig Williams in the saddle, but you'd be pretty confident with the horse that you're riding, I reckon.
Yeah, definitely. It was a very good win last start. Hawks team's flying. They've given me a real good go over here, and what more could I have asked for? A good stables pick me up and give me a real good go to complement the horses that I'm already here for, the Williams team and the Bob Peters horses. So it was a very fortunate thing. I was lucky to in the right place at the right time, I guess. And support like that is just huge while you're over here. And trying to do your best, well, it helps when you get a good team behind you with good horses.
Now, where's Grant at the moment, mate? Has he gone to Sydney with Superstorm and Windstorm, or did he decide to stay down there in Melbourne? Because obviously you can't go for obvious reasons, because you'd have to quarantine too hard.
That's right, yeah. It's very hard with the quarantine. I don't think even Grant was able to go because of the quarantine. Yeah. So, because they only leave, I think they might only leave on the Thursday before the Saturday. So even he wouldn't, unless he goes a lot earlier. You send him over, and I'm not even sure how it actually happens, to tell you the truth. I normally stick to riding them, and that's his headache. So how they get there, I'm not entirely sure. But I know it'll be pretty exciting for them, and I think they're two very nice horses to head across for that race. And I think after the barrier draws, I think it's wide open. I think one of the favourites through one of the widest gates, and it looks a very open race.
Yep, that is Alligator Blood. It's the $7 million Golden Eagle for four-year-olds. If you were to choose one, Superstorm or Windstorm, which one, Willie?
Windstorm. I've said Windstorm all along just because he's been winning recently, and I think that just goes a long way to winning on race day. It becomes a bit of a habit. When you're in winning form, you just find a way to win. When you haven't won for a while, you seem to just find a way to have a hard luck story. So I couldn't separate them with their work. And horses, as horses themselves, they're very similar. But as I said, if you're flipping a coin, it's a flip of a coin, but I go with the horse that's been winning recently just because of that fact.
All right. Well, Windstorm's $21 and Superstorm's $14. So there's a lead for your listeners on Tab Touch. We've been giving away that $100 voucher tonight. Would Glenn Schofield and Josh Parr, would they ring you to pick your brains, or that doesn't happen in your world?
No, I've spoken to Glenn Schofield. But he's the only one I've spoken to. So just a little chat. There's probably not a lot of tricks to them, and I think sometimes you're better off not knowing too much about them as well. Maybe they can bring a different perspective to what I've been bringing and get a bit more out of them or something like that. If they were tricky horses, then I'd probably make sure a message got to them somehow, but they're not tricky. They're very easy rides, and they'll hurry home, but whether it's too late or not, we'll find out after the weekend.
Well, I hope you didn't call him Glenn, because his name's Glenn. That wouldn't have been too nice to him. But, Willie, when you do come back, do you think your move away will affect some of your rides, your opportunities back here in the West, or the team will put you on the favoured Bob Peters horses?
No, it'll definitely affect my standing. The other guys have been there winning on them. I'm not exactly sure how it'll go, but... Maybe in the Peters camp I'll probably still be okay, but definitely a lot of my other rides they'll have found replacements and things like that. So while I don't expect to struggle to get rides, but normally leading into a carnival you've got them well and truly sorted out, the ones that you like more than others and the ones where they're heading, what they're doing. So there'll be none of that this year. It'll just have to sort of jump in and hopefully. Yeah, hope that actually I'm supposed to be better than some of the others, and hopefully I can actually be better than them and prove it. But we'll see.
Will you do this again next year, Willie? Will you go back to Melbourne if the horses are there?
If the horses are there and everyone was happy with the results, it's very much results driven. So I've done all right myself. So, but I don't know. If the group of horses are there and the opportunity arose, I would consider it. But it's definitely be nice to do it without these COVID restrictions. That's kind of wearing thin right now.
Yeah, we can understand, mate. It's been wearing thin everywhere. Thanks very much for chatting to us, mate. And hopefully the next time we'll talk to you, it's after you win the Melbourne Cup, mate. Good on you. Good luck. Good luck this weekend and good luck for the Cup, mate.
Yeah, thanks very much, guys. Hopefully we can bring some Tupperware home.
Good on you. Willie Pike here on Sports Day is a star, and it'll be great to see him in action. And he's riding Steel Prince in the Melbourne Cup if you want to get on early on Tab Touch. 922-1882 is the talkback number. We'll be back with more of Sports Day after this. We'll have a chat to Tim Anstey, the new signing for the Western Four. Welcome back to Sports Day. Let's get into a sports update. Turn unpaid invoices into cash with scottpack.com.au. And we rolled this into our program last night, Paul Hazelby. The news that Tim Anstey had signed at the Western Force. Well, it's great to have him on the program right now. Welcome, Tim.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for having me.
How did this come about, mate? A bloke who's made a reputation, a very strong reputation for himself too when it comes to international sevens.
Yes, I guess I've been playing sevens with the Australian team for the past 4 years, which I've absolutely loved. It's given me the chance to travel all around the world and represent my country, which I'm very privileged to do. But very excited to jump into the 15th man game, and I'm pumped that the Force have given me the opportunity.
You obviously started with rugby union and then went to the sevens. How different is it playing the different styles, and is it going to be easy for you to adjust?
Yes, the sevens it's pretty fast and rapid. Short games, but I tell you what, they feel like they go for a while and you cover a fair few metres. But no, they're the same sport, but there's a lot of differences as well. Obviously, 15s is that sort of physicality aspect, and the games go for longer, and it's probably a bit more tactical. So, both different, and I enjoy both of them.
Gee, you must have been impressed when you got an opportunity to train with the Force when they're in their hub over on the East Coast. How was that experience? And obviously, that helps with your decision-making.
Yeah, so Tim Sampson was really good, and he gave me the chance to come into the hub when they were over in the Hunter Valley, and that was my sort of first experience within a professional 15 setup, and I loved it. I was really impressed with how the team sort of went to work. They had a really team first culture, and it was sort of an opportunity for me to put my best foot forward, and thankfully Sambo must have liked the look of me, and I'm heading over next week.
So what does that mean for the future with Rugby Sevens? Is it something you may go back to, or if it works out for you, you're happy to stay with the other format?
Sevens is probably a bit up in the air at the moment. I think the big ticket item that everyone's looking forward to is the Olympics, which they're sort of hoping goes ahead still, fingers crossed. And yeah, there is a chance that I could potentially come back into the mix for that. But my priority is with the Force once I head over. And I'll be with the team. And if the opportunity does arise to come back to Sevens, I'd love to give it a crack. But yeah, I've signed a 2-year deal with the Force, and I'll be with them for 2 years.
Tim, just tell us about the grand final that you're going to be playing in this weekend, the decider.
Yeah, big dance this weekend with Eastwood v Gordon in the Shoot Shield. So, yeah, it's exciting stuff. So I sort of spent most of the season playing with Eastwood, and we finished fifth in the end. So we only just sort of scraped through to the final. And, we sort of won one or two finals games, and we've made it. So, yeah, it's anyone's game, I think, this weekend. And we're confident that if we do stick to our game plan and play for the full 80, we could come away with the chocolates. Absolutely pumped and keen to get out there.
Mate, you're only 23, and your preferred position, I'm assuming, is as a flanker or not, mate? Where would you like to play? Where do you think you can play? What's the discussion been around with your position when you head to the Western Force?
Yeah, so I've been playing most of the season at lock for Eastwood, but that's sort of because we're quite a strong back row. Ideally, I sort of see myself as a six, blindside flanker, or a number eight. So I guess, yeah, I'm obviously quite tall, but I've probably got fairly good feet from coming from a sevens background. See myself as quite agile around the park. So, yeah, I see myself playing as a 6'8" and sort of adding that point of difference coming from sevens.
Mate, where did you grow up as a youngster? Where did you ply your craft? What part of the world?
Sydney. So I'm a Sydney boy through and through in the Hills District, for anyone that knows Sydney quite well. So, yeah, growing up there my whole life. And, I've never actually been to Perth, actually, only sort of flown through in transit. So I'm keen to get over there. From all reports, it's a pretty cool city, and everyone seems to love it over there.
Mate, you will find it like a country town compared to the city that you're going to leave over there in Sydney, mate. And you'll be able to go fishing, which I believe from earlier discussions that you love, and things of that nature. Where are they shacking you up, mate, for your 14 days quarantine, which you've got to serve when you come to WA?
So I actually just got approved today, and I've got a place over in Scarborough over there. Which is on the beach, and from all reports, again, is quite nice. I'm excited. I'm not too close to the beach back home here in Sydney. And I'm pumped to get over there and experience a new city and get amongst it.
Tim, in the pitch from the Western Force to get you, was it discussed that there's a guarantee that they'll be a part of the Super Rugby competition next year?
It's still a bit all up in the air, to be honest. I think the administrators are sort of sorting all that out, and hopefully they can get that done soon. All we know is the boys have started training last week, I believe, and they're doing everything in their power to be ready for a late February start, from what I've heard. And yeah, I think they've recruited quite strongly, and we're ready to contest the season and go out there and win games of footy.
Oh, it's going to be one hell of a squad. There's no doubt about that. But who are you most looking forward to training alongside and following through the pre-season?
It's big Wallabies that they've signed. Tevita Kirundrani, Tom Robertson. But there's also that international flavour in the squad, I think, with Rob Carney and the two Argentinians. So, I mean, there's a lot of star power there. And, I'm just keen to mix it with the best and test myself.
Good stuff, mate. Thank you very much for having a yak to us, and we'll see you when you're here in Perth, mate. We'll get you out on the water, okay, and catch your fish.
Too easy, boys. Sounds good.
Good on you. Tim Anstey, who is the latest signing to our Western Force, and for finance that keeps your business moving, turn unpaid invoices into cash or access funding to build your fleet at scottpack.com.au. After this, we will come back and we will have a chat to our resident NBA expert, Rob Beaver, here on Sports Day. Welcome back to Sports Day. Time to welcome into the studio our NBA expert, Rob Beaver. Welcome, mate.
Evening, guys.
Nice to have you on the program. Now, what's the leading news when it comes to the world's basketball at the moment?
The leading news at the moment, and this was reported a couple of days ago by a few different sources, is that NBA Commissioner Adam Silver is looking tentatively at a restart date or a start date for the 2020 21 season of December 22nd. Now, this is about 8 weeks away, roughly. It's a very big change of pace and change of, I guess, opinion from what they were saying only a matter of weeks ago, which was they were looking at a start that would be maybe around Martin Luther King Day, which is January 18th. So looking at that January sort of holiday window there, they were even floating that maybe if they thought a vaccine would be in the works, that they might look at pushing the start date back to around February, maybe even March, if that would allow fans back into NBA arenas. As I've said many times in this program, the fan attendance for the NBA accounts for about 50% of their revenue. So there's a bit of dollars and cents in that. But what has happened in the last 3 or 4 weeks following the Lakers championship in the bubble in Orlando is the numbers have come back. TV ratings are down 30% because they were playing in summer, which was something that the NBA has always avoided. They know that the ratings in summer are not as good. They've dropped 30%. So I think Adam Silver and the NBA committee are now sitting down going, how are we going to do this? Because we can't start a season in January, February, March if it means running into summer again, because we can't lose 30% of our audience over those summer months. And as we know, it's happened in Australia as well, COVID-19. These broadcasters in particular are really pushing, saying we need return on investment for our product. And if the ratings are down 30%, theoretically the broadcaster can turn around and say, right, well, we're not paying 30% of what we agreed to. Because the value for money is just not there. And I think Adam Silver's come to the realization of that, and he's going, right, the biggest ratings window for the NBA, apart from that Martin Luther King Day window on January 18th, is Christmas. And we saw in 2011 when the lockout season happened, that's when they started the year because of the lockout and the agreements with the CBA. And it worked really, really well. The idea is that they're going to have either a 66 or a 72-game season, which is down from the normal 82-game season. The thing that gets interesting is that this needs player approval. There needs to be a new CBA or amendments to the CBA ratified. And this hasn't been put formally to the players at this stage. It's just a rumor. But already teams, in particular the LA Lakers, have already come back saying, we're not really keen. We need more than 2 months of an off-season.
What about the coaches? Any movement?
Lots of movement. The LA Clippers, of course, they fired Doc Rivers following a 3-run series collapse to the Denver Nuggets in the West semifinals. They've now promoted assistant Tyronn Lue. He's the gentleman that took over from David Blatt in Cleveland when LeBron James won his title with the Cavaliers. So comes highly credentialed. They've actually stolen one of the Miami Heat assistant coaches as well over to the Clippers. Of course, the Heat fresh off their run to the finals. A couple of other ones. Stan Van Gundy's been moved into the New Orleans Pelicans. This is a really interesting fit. A guy who has one way of playing, and it worked really well when he was coaching a prime Dwight Howard in Orlando. He looks to play one big in the middle with four shooters surrounding him. Zion Williamson, I think, looms as that one big in the low post. Still needs some work with that roster to try and recreate what he had in Orlando, but I think a good signing and a coach that'll get the best out of this team defensively, which is where they were below average last season. And the last one is a really interesting one. This is one that the casual fan might not know. His name is Nate Borkgren. Nate Borkgren, he comes to the Indiana Pacers fresh out of the Nick Nurse coaching school, of course, at the Toronto Raptors. Nick Nurse won the championship a couple of seasons ago in Toronto, so he comes highly credentialed with a reputation for building relationships and with their star player Victor Oladipo potentially looking at requesting a trade in the next 6 months. That relationship building will be key for that franchise.
And what about the draft coming up in November? It would have been quite difficult throughout the year. Did they get access to all the players playing the required amount of games?
Well, this is the thing. There was a semblance of an NCAA season, which is the college year over there. They didn't have March Madness, which is where a lot of, NBA scouts really state their reputation. A lot of players can really go up or down in value as we approach the draft. We've still got guys like James Wiseman at the top of the board. He's likely to be a top three pick. LaMelo Ball, though, the one, of course, who came to the Illawarra Hawks, a lot of mock drafts had him at 2 or 3. A lot of them now have him as the number one prospect. Ooh. I think in large part because there's a body of work that we've seen for him throughout the season. RJ Hampton is the same, not as talented as Ball at this stage and didn't have as good a season in the NBL, but he's touted as being maybe a late lottery pick or maybe a pick in the early 20s. So I think those two guys have an advantage over a lot of NCAA prospects just because they have a body of work that the scouts can go back and you can look at the replay and the vision here and you know a little bit of what you're going to get, even if they do have some deficiencies at this stage in their career.
And Rob, what about the local scene, mate? What do you reckon is going to happen? When are the fixtures going to be announced?
Well, of course, we spoke about this the other night. Ricky Grace alluded to it, but I think what's going to happen is in the next couple of weeks, I'm pegging a date around November 15th, that middle of November. I think the NBA will come out and they will say that there will be a hub, whether this is a permanent hub for the entire season or whether it's just something to get us underway and we reevaluate after a dozen games or so. I don't know, but I think it'll be at the end of the Australian Open, and I think it will be in Victoria. A lot of the biosecurity measures that will be in place for the Australian Open, I think, will help the NBL. You'll be able to bring these teams in. They'll be playing in the same arenas which have been sterilized and had all the security around them for the past 2 to 3 weeks with these athletes and tennis players coming in internationally. Not good news for our Perth Wildcats. Would have loved it to be in Perth given the crowds that we attract over here, but I think, obviously, geographically speaking, it makes sense for the NBL, and if the facilities are there, why not use them?
Rob Beaver there, and now we finish off with Barra and O'Day, because the little things are everything. Karen McAvoy, Australian jockey, rode Brew to victory in the 2000 Melbourne Cup, Al Mandan in the 2016, and Cross Counter in 2018. He's also the brother-in-law of both Melbourne Cup winners Michelle Payne, who won with Prince of Penzance in 2015, and Brett Preble, who won the Cup with Green Moon in 2012. So a lot of recent success when it comes to that camp. For Barra and O'Day, don't miss out on the little moments, because the little things are everything. We'll hopefully have someone out of the WNBL. Our Perth Lynx are going to be playing all of their action on the East Coast. Plus, we'll have all of the news in sport from 6 o'clock tomorrow for another edition of Sports Day. We'll see you then.